Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, Kirk, what live event you missing most right now between college football, NFL, and I'm talking about you actually attending the game and attending as a fan, you know what I mean? Not you going to cover a game for college or covering a game for the NFL. What sport you missing the most between baseball, basketball, college football, and NFL? And obviously LA's got it all. They got two teams of everything. What are you missing the most?
I think I'm missing. I'm gonna miss my football, man. The NFL. There's nothing
so
like
going.
It.
So going to a game. Going yeah, to a going game to as a fan. Game.
I'm gonna miss that. The NFL is king. I think college as well. I think football in general is hard because it's different. Places the experience is different, right? You know, I'm lucky enough to go to different college settings and. Some places I'm like, man, this is really cool to watch a game. Like I said, last year, my first game, I was in, Baton Rouge, Louisiana for the Louisiana or LSU versus Georgia Southern to start the season. And I'm like, God, this is so cool to watch a football game here. And I've done one there at night. But then you talk about a Rams game and you think about some games like on a nighttime game at the Coliseum.
Sunday night game.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, what is it going to look like now at SoFi, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not missing it because I haven't seen it or been to one yet. But if it's anything like what we've seen on those night games here in Los Angeles, man, like I need it. Like I'm going to be sorely, sorely upset missing night games, especially at the new stadium.
So, Kirk, so you know how. Listen, you know me. I'm through and through. I will talk NBA for 40 hours if I have to. I love the NBA. And I love, listen, there's something about the energy of being at a game and everything that comes with it. But out of all the sports, if you're attending just as a fan,
yes.
Is there anything more relaxing and kickback than going to a baseball game, grabbing a beer, grabbing a dog, grabbing some peanuts? It's funny, even though NBA is by far my favorite sport, the sport I miss, and I only go to a couple games a year. I go to probably 2-3 Dodger games a year. If I get a chance, I'm in San Diego. I'll go try and catch the Padres as well. So I'm not going to, you know, a number of games a year like most people do. But damn, are those sporting experiences as good as it gets. My problem with Laker games is I'm so into the game that I can't really relax. Like you know, I just can't take the fan out of me. I feel like for baseball, you could still be a fan of the game, but you're still kicking back. The pace is so slow. If you go on whether it's a night game or it's a day game or whatever the case is, there's something about baseball that's one of the best sporting experiences to have.
Yeah.
You know where I'm coming from? You know where I'm coming from? Like when I say that, like think about you kind of, I don't know, growing up and you're up in the Bay Area and you go to an A's game or you go to a Giants game. Isn't there something just so chill and relaxing about just the pace of the game and you actually feel like you're relaxing while you're at the game?
Oh, man, it's amazing. Kick your feet up. Enjoy it. And especially when you have some of the greatest weather in all of the country, right? You just sit back and you enjoy. And you mentioned it. You have a beer. You have an adult beverage. You have things and you're saying just – wow, this is nice. This is cool. The ambiance, like you mentioned, the product on the field, the light show, home runs, all of that. It doesn't get any better, especially and it's a time like right now where you really, really miss it because there's really no other sports going on usually around this time. So it's just baseball and you get you a nice little night game. And it's the reason why the Dodgers go over. How many million people per year? They like 3
million?
They almost had
4 million this year.
There's a reason why they're almost near 4 million every single year, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the team that hasn't won a World Series since 88, right? We're still talking about just the product and just coming. I've always said this, and this is something that I've learned. When you leave a baseball game or just a game, when I leave, I'm always like, I can't wait to the next one. Right. If you leave a game, say, oh, that was cool. Yeah, I got to do it again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that to me is sometime. That's not for sure. That's not certain. But when you leave certain games and you're like, wow, I can't wait to do that again. or that was fun. Like that's kind of addicting, right? And that's how you get certain places. They bring that out of you. And baseball games, you know, especially during the summertime at Dodger Stadium, you know, for me, I like to go up and check out a game when I'm somewhere out of town. And mm-hmm. you get that feeling like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. But it's still nothing like the Dodgers, though, right? Nothing.
Jake Schneider, who just on Twitter, he says, it's not my favorite sport out of all of them, but there's something different about grabbing a hot dog and a beer at a baseball game. I mean, it literally takes the words right out of my mouth.
What, how about nine dogs?
I bought nine beers, too. But I'm kind of referring to the experience that comes with baseball. You know, it's funny, Kirk. Do you ever? I'm sure you've had this just simply because you know, your access and everything else. But you ever gone to a Dodger game? You ever have those access to that dugout club? You know, where you can just eat as much as you possibly can.
I've been a couple times.
How's your self control on those? I'm just asking because I got zero self-control for that stuff. Like there are times I'm like, I can't even go out to my seat because I just got to keep eating. Where are you in that world?
I can't watch the game. Like I'm missing the game. I brought some people. I think I was invited. I think it was a group of us. Uh-huh. And I can probably say I maybe watched two innings of the game.
That's plenty. You have work to do down there.
I've seen why people there's a lot of empty seats a lot of times in that
the left field pavilion or right field pavilion.
You got the left field, right field pavilion, and you got the one that's down by home plate.
Yeah, the dugout club.
The dugout club. Yeah. You walk down there and you're like, whoa. Wait, do I have to go up and watch the game from my seats?
You could watch on the TVs and just keep eating.
Yeah, I'm very similar to going to Club Hyde at the Staples mm-hmm. Center.
Does Club Hyde have food like that? Because it's like
they do.
Or
you can eat
Chairman's
food.
Club. Well, yeah. Chairman's Club is before. Yeah. Okay.
See, Alan, you down there with the media. I'm down mm-hmm. there with the streets, brother.
Oh, you're doing your thing. You're doing your thing up there.
I'm down there with the streets, man. I'm down mm-hmm. there socializing. I'm trying to see who is who at the game. You got the music going on. You're peeking at the game. Right. Mm-hmm. You're watching it on monitors and you kind of peek down from time to time and watch a sequence or two. But sometimes it's the amenities that get you like, man, I kind of miss going here because you can almost do like three events in one.
My plate is embarrassing. Like, I don't know how you do it, but you have to be very strategic with how you do it. You know, you don't want people looking like, is this guy really eating this much? I'm walking by. There's bratwurst over there. There's Dodger dogs. There's all types of pastas and lasagnas and all this stuff, chicken, steak, and then I haven't even looked at the dessert side of it. Kirk, it's a mess down there. So it's good to know that you share the same thing with me when you go down to a Dodger game, and if you ever get those seats, there's just too much good food down there.
Way too much good food.
Okay, so Kirk, I want you to guess. Okay, when we come back, let's do this. There's a lot of chatter right now about the snitch line. Not everybody's crazy about the snitch line. I don't think Rudy Gobert is a fan of the snitch line. Scottie Pippen actually likes it. I'm going to name off some players in the NBA, and I want you to just give me your opinion if you think this player is one of those players that's calling the snitch line. Okay?
All right. I got a number of them.
So let's do that when we come back. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kirk, you calling the snitch line if you're in the bubble?
Nah, I'm good, man. Snitches get stitches, man. I'm good.
So you're not calling?
Under any circumstance,
you're not calling?
No, I'm not doing that.
I will churn your ass in before you even know it. I will call that snitch line before you even know it. All right, I want to list out some players, okay? Uh-huh. Because supposedly the snitch line is active. That phone number is being used. But before I do that, you know, I think everybody's got their view and their thought on this snitch line. Scottie Pippen, who he's a pretty good basketball player. I don't know if you know Scottie Pippen. Yeah, he did okay in his career.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Of course, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever do it. He was on the jump a little bit earlier today. And I'm always curious to get kind of players' take on this and then former players' take on this. Here's Scottie Pippen on what he thinks about the snitch line.
I don't per se that players are going to be sort of calling each other out, but I think they want to make sure that everybody is safe. So with that being said, you need everybody eyes and ears working to make sure that they keep that bubble safe, because one outbreak could cost them the whole season, and there's a lot riding on this. So I totally get it. I mean, if you got something that you see that you don't like, report it, please.
All right, that's Scottie Pippen. All right, I'm going to take a quick serious approach to this, and then we'll joke around what players we think would snitch, okay? Mm-hmm. Kirk, you can't – I mean, you just can't have mistakes in here. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't – this Orlando bubble is not one of those things where you can take it lax. And if you're a player out there or a coach or a trainer or whatever the case is, and you're part of this Orlando bubble, Kirk, it's not going to take much to bring these cards down, right? I mean, just a mistake or two – it's risky enough to where that $150, $170 million the NBA put on this, all this chatter that you and I are having right now, hoping to obviously continue to finish off this season and get kind of, I guess you could say, get prepared for the following season. You can't take it lightly. So if somebody is doing something, and I'm not saying call the hotline, let that be the one that solves, you know, all the problem. I think that's probably kind of corny. But I also don't think somebody should sit back if they see a player coming in and out of the bubble, or they're ordering, you know, from Uber Eats or something along those lines, and they're risking the entire bubble. It's not okay to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's now we're talking about everyone's health. And I think that's the part where I have to make sure that
you got to be held responsible.
Right. You got to be held responsible. I'm not saying if a guy is out late, or he doesn't have his mask on, or a couple players on a team are not social distancing. You know what I mean? Like, it's little things like that I'm like,
Agreed. I mean, you can't go play a playoff game three, and all, you know, everybody's huddled together and you're playing 5-on-5 and you're, you know, obviously, but you see the two walking together inside the bubble. I'm with you. I'm not going to be calling the snitch line, but if somebody does something stupid, you right. know that this could risk the integrity of this entire thing. You can't take it lightly.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Like, you have to, like, look, man, you're talking about my livelihood here in terms of my family. All it takes is one person to test positive and it starts to spread. And look at what our country is now, right? From where February was, we were like, oh, no, we're fine. We'll be good. And we're all the way now in July, and how this thing has spread. So we know the effects of the COVID-19, of the coronavirus. And so why would I allow you to go out and disrupt what we've been doing? Look, I'm not quarantining or being in this bubble for nothing. So don't let me waste 2 weeks of my life, or a month of my life, 2 months, whatever it may be, upwards of 84 days if you make it all the way to the championship and go through and win. I'm not wasting all this time for someone to throw it away being careless because they don't have the same mindset. They don't have the same mindset as me. And this kind of goes back to what I talked about with you, Alan, is that I'm not worried about the guys who are like, I'm here to hoop. I'm here. I understand what's going on. I'm going to take it serious. I'm going to play ball. It's the guy who's like, man, I could care less about all this. I'm just trying to get paid. I'm going to bend the rules a little bit. There's always that one guy. There's always a couple guys on a roster, on a team, that just sometimes they feel like, I'm going to try to bend the rules as much as I can until I can't anymore. And this is no room for rule bending. You have to be on the straight and narrow and handle it, right? It's going to be difficult. It's like it's almost like we were talking about it earlier. There's a couple folks of mine like, It's like serving a bid, they say, like going to the pen, going to jail almost. It really is. It's because you're confined to a certain area. Now,
sure,
look, they give
sure.
you your privileges and
but I know what
like
you're
that.
Saying. What
but
you're saying is you can't leave.
You
right?
Can't
like
leave.
So there's we all have the freedom of going wherever we want, whenever we want. And
yes.
now all of a sudden you're and even more players like that, you were mentioning this yesterday. They get whatever they want. They're accustomed to getting whatever they want, whenever they want. Now, all of a sudden, it's you staying here for potentially 3 months.
Yes.
And, you know, you do some fishing, you play some ping pong, and hopefully you enjoy it. Other than that, get back in your room or get to practice.
It's only so many fish out there. You can't catch them all, right?
They're gonna keep restocking that that whatever that is, that lake out there. Okay, let me throw a couple players at you. Okay.
Yep.
The player I throw your way, I just want a yes or a no. If you think they're calling the snitch line, okay? Here we go. Patrick Beverly.
Nah, Pat Bev ain't snitching.
Pat Bev is calling the snitch line.
No, he ain't calling the snitch
line. Pat Bev is trying to get an advantage, a competitive advantage. That guy is definitely calling the snitch line.
He's only calling it if it's something involved with LeBron. Let's be real.
If it's involved the Lakers, I seen Kuzma over there playing not too late over there.
I see Dwight out there too somewhere.
Yep.
Okay, so Pat Bev, you're gonna say no. He's not calling the snitch line.
Yeah, he's only calling on the Lakers.
How about James Harden? Harden calling the snitch line?
Yes, he's calling the snitch line.
Yeah, Harden's calling. I'm with you too. Harden's calling the snitch line. Harden's he's got it on speed dial.
Yeah, I think he called the snitch line only because he came back and tried to snitch on Giannis. Remember, Giannis was saying that, you know, it doesn't take a lot of skill, or is he taking it? What is he talking about? Like the
he got asked about like James Harden. He's like, oh, I don't just, it takes more than just to dribble to skill. I have more skills than just dribbling and shooting or something like that.
Yeah, they're back and forth earlier. And so the reason why I bring that up is because James Harden showed me that he's got a little petty in him. Because it was like, all you do is just dunk. He said, all he does is just dunk. I got a jump shot.
I got a couple that I think would be calling the snitch line, but they're not in the bubble.
Ooh.
Okay? I think D'Angelo's calling the snitch line.
You got to bring D'Angelo Russell in this, huh?
Yeah, D'Angelo, it's actually...
He's the operator that answers when you call.
Yeah, I was going to say it's wired to his phone, and then he then reports it to everybody else, okay? So D'Angelo, it was his idea.
Operator, huh?
No, this was D'Angelo's idea. This is like a whole thing that he's got, okay?
Wow.
Is Draymond calling the snitch line? Would he, if he was in there?
Nah, he's from SAG, man. He's from Michigan. I think he cut different. I think he's more the guy who would go up to the player and say, "What you doing?" Mm. There's some guys who would just call the snitch line. Mm-hmm. I think Draymond is the guy who will find out, who will see the player, and he's knocking on that door at the room, and he's handling it himself. Like, come here, hey, we don't talk.
Don't you love how we just assume people's personalities? Like, oh yeah, no, this guy's calling it. Okay, I got one that not only do I think he's calling the snitch line, I think he's doing it live on Instagram, or he's doing it live on Twitter. He's doing something. I think Joel Embiid is promoting that he's about to call the snitch line, and he's calling out whoever, and then he's telling everybody, yeah, that's right, I called the snitch line. I think Embiid's got the personality that not only would he do it, he'd enjoy doing it.
You think so?
Embiid's hilarious.
Trust the snitch line.
Embiid is hilarious. I don't know if you follow this guy at all. This dude is comical with everything that he does.
So what about if you – so are you guys familiar with this term?
Mm-hmm.
Dry snitching. Are you familiar with that term, dry snitching?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not either.
So dry snitching is like you're snitching, but you really not. Like you're implying something, but you're not really saying it out. Uh-huh. But it's kind of like man, he over there dry snitching. Like, man, mm-hmm. you know, I heard they be over there playing poker late at night or something like that. He won't name names, but it's just like, come on, man, no one asks you, right? No one mm-hmm. asks you this question. So it's like, why are you bringing up? You're volunteering information. That's also dry snitching too. I was bringing this up because I saw Austin Rivers was kind of dry snitching on Bron today, right? On LeBron.
I saw that. Austin Rivers, why are you talking about LeBron? And I love too, by the way. I love, play it. Curtis, if you have it, play it. This is Austin Rivers from the Rockets.
Man, I told y'all, everybody keep asking if I seen Bron. Man, y'all know Bron ain't staying where we stand, man. Y'all know LeBron got this LeBron room right here. This whole thing, this whole damn building, LeBron room. And they put everybody else over here. Stop out here. I know he ain't staying where we staying at.
By the way, not only do I love that, but he's probably 100% right.
Dry snitching.
It's LeBron James.
That's on brand for Austin Rivers, though.
Yeah, that is on brand.
Yep. So if you would have asked me what he said, I was like, oh, yeah, I think he got a little bit in him. He got a little call snitch in him. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple more, okay? How about Dame? You think Dame is?
No.
I don't think he is at all.
No, that's town business. No, that's Oakland.
By the way, I think Damian Lillard not only is not snitching, I think he's looking all his teammates in his eyes and saying, you forget that number. Nobody's gonna use that number.
Man, shout out to Dame, by the way. Happy birthday today, man.
Today's birthday? John Ireland's birthday, too. Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of birthdays today.
It's Laura's birthday, too.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. I got one more. One more if this player who's in the bubble is snitching, is using that snitch line.
Okay.
Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul. Yeah.
It should not have taken you that long to figure say yes.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is going to snitch on us right now that we're even having this conversation.
Cliff, too.
Oh, Cliff Paul?
Both of them.
Oh, I forgot about that commercial. Cliff and Chris, yeah.
Chris has been getting paid from State Farm for a while
now. For a long time. Man,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's been good to him. Now they got Patrick Mahomes. Shout out.
Oh, that's right. Farm. Mahomes as well. Okay, so you think Chris Paul, yes or no?
Yeah, I think so.
The snitch line. We figured out a lot of players' personalities, number one, and number two, we figured out this was D'Angelo Russell's idea. This was all Russell's idea.
I got one more player.
Ooh.
What about Jimmy Butler?
No.
Nah, that ain't Jimmy Butler. Forte.
Mm-mm. Butler's not saying a thing. I had some other players.
Wait,
there,
no, but... Let me take that back. Because Jimmy outspoken. He's really loud. I think he's the kind of guy that probably wouldn't call it a snitch line, but at his first media availability,
he's not calling the line, but I guarantee you he's calling out whoever that was in person.
Right.
Would be more Jimmy Butler.
Yes. He's another one that probably wouldn't say it, wouldn't call the line, but definitely will that person will know that they violated at some point inside the bubble.
All right, so I know we joked around about it. We are serious about it, too. Really, in all honesty, at the end of the day, please, please, if you're these NBA players, just try to follow the rules. At least maybe we could finish the season off. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. Curtis, anything for us to look forward to?
Yeah, we're going to once and for all find out, do athletes actually care about their video game ratings? And we're going to find out from a true athlete coming up next.
Perfect. We'll do that coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so Curtis, you promoted this, and you're promoting the NFL, Madden ratings. So take it from there, and I know, obviously you want an athlete. You want to see what they think about ratings and if it's actually important or not. So set it up from there.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of, we've had this conversation before with you, Kirk, but this is more, I was gone yesterday, obviously, I wasn't really paying attention to anything, but once I saw the complaints on Twitter, I knew, they released the Madden ratings.
Yes.
People are always upset, but I want to know, usually there's two
And just
two
for
camps.
Those who don't know, you're talking to somebody that was a 92 in the Madden rating. Just a quick reminder there. Throw that out there. Go ahead, Curtis. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the 90s. There's usually two camps when you ask a player. It's either they are openly reacting to that rating or they say they don't care. So I know everyone's different, but I want to get the answer, what the majority is.
I think I know the answer here.
Mm.
Kirk, do NFL players care about their Madden rating?
Do we care? We care when it's not where we think it should be. Yes, we care. Nobody wants to be weak. And that's the one thing about like
what's these, a weak score? What's like if you're in the 80s, are you good? Like that's like an average.
Anything under 80 is pretty bad.
Yeah, I think under 80, you're like, come on, man, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, but guys are real because remember, you play these games like in groups. You know, like during training camp, you know, you have these Madden tournaments and guys in the room and like, oh man, dude, you trash. Oh, you terrible. Like, man, for real? Like, nah, I never want to be like that. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, guys care about their Madden rating. I mean, you see Le'Veon Bell's upset about his rating. You know, a lot of people take it as motivation. You know, and I've actually known a couple of guys who actually do the Madden ratings, and I actually watched an episode of how they calculate.
Didn't
it
you say something about, was it at San Diego State you met somebody or something like that?
Yeah, we went to San Diego State. Mm-hmm. They worked at Madden. I went over there to the EA Sports campus mm-hmm. over in Redwood City
it's
where
in
they
the game. You
know, yeah, it's in the game. I was over there, checked it out, and how it's all made. And I've been to Orlando as well, and they showed me just like where they do the voiceovers, like for the actually Madden game. So the guy, Charles Davis, he does it now. He's the color commentator. And you just like, wow, what goes into this? And so now I tell people, you have to understand, like with Madden now, they actually can boost your rating throughout the season. You can go up or you can go down. So
love it. It's great.
Because of the newness, mm-hmm. You know, with everything being the updates every week, because you get, I mean, for people who play the game religiously every week and they follow their teams through the game, each week there's new players being downloaded who are now on the roster. Guys who are hurt are off the team or on IR. Like, there's some people who play their seasons like that and stay caught mm-hmm. up with the NFL. But that being said, certain players that if you play with throughout the season, actually their Madden ratings can go up.
Big time.
And there's obviously some guys who
okay,
can
so,
definitely
so
go down.
So who in this year's Madden rating, who wasn't getting the love they should have been getting? Did you look at it, Kirk? Like, did you see did
well,
you
I
see
know Aaron Rodgers. I know Aaron Rodgers didn't get the love.
Oh, was he at 89 or something like that?
Yeah, he's like number 5 or 6, mm-hmm. maybe a little lower. But, yeah, he's in the 80s. That's Aaron Rodgers is always above 90 for sure.
So why are they putting him there? What's the reasoning for them to have him under 90?
So Aaron Rodgers is the number 6 rated overall quarterback at 89. Just in front of him is Tom Brady at 90, and then below him is Matt Ryan at 87.
Hmm. Aaron Rodgers, man. Look, he's
already. 2 years ago, he was a 99, and last year he started at a 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is so only one, very drastic down changes. Point.
And mm-hmm. remember, he did lead his team to a conference, you know, title game. They didn't win against the 49er, but he led them there, and mm-hmm. he still is the 6th best quarterback.
I mean, they were a quiet 13-3 or 14-3.
Yeah, very quiet.
I remember, you know, no one really gave Packers a lot of love, and I'm just like, they have Aaron Rodgers. What more do you need? But, yeah, crazy. For some reason, Aaron Rodgers is getting a lot of doubt. But, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure by the season end, he'll be like a 93, 94.
So to play off of that then, so Kirk, at the end of the day, players are definitely paying attention, but they're paying a lot more attention if they don't like their rating.
Yes. If they don't like their rating, oh, you definitely going you're gonna let them know about it. Now you could tweet at Madden. You can actually the guys are on the sideline. You can watch them. They actually wear these like little jackets.
Yeah, they got a jacket. It's just like,
oh yeah, they're like the statistician or something. Rating adjuster.
Madden rating adjuster. There it is. They're on the sidelines now, Alan, and they can adjust the ratings throughout the day. I mean, throughout the game.
Bro, that's amazing. So,
yeah, Jesus. I mean, like I said, Madden
that's where we are too.
Yeah, Madden is totally different. It's not like, you know, some of the NBA games. It's the leading sports game every year. Right, it's the number one sports game that comes out every single year.
Where's FIFA? Where's FIFA on that list? I don't know why I always loved FIFA.
Worldwide,
too.
Very high, but not as
Madden
much
and
here.
FIFA. Yeah. Madden and FIFA feel like those are the, you know, obviously the two that are
correct.
Most popular. Jess, what do you got there, bud?
All right, so going back to what, you know, we all love to talk about. I found another interesting article on food.
Okay.
So this time.
I'm telling
it
you,
is
Jess,
on
Jess, I'm underestimating how much food I took down at those Dodger games. Like, whatever I told
oh,
you,
no.
I was trying to be respectful. It's an ugly scene once I get down there.
I believe you. I've heard countless amount of stories of the greatness of that place. And then when I used to go to games, I would go to the all-you-can-eat pavilion and get four hot dogs, two things of popcorn, you know, mountains of peanuts. And
you
like
gotta eat. You gotta eat some of it first, and then go out with food to your seat, so it looks like you're reasonable, right?
That's from a champ.
You just you can't let anybody know that you had that much. Kirk, how about those cookies? You have to put a little ice cream on them. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Come on. But
I feel like you gotta. I understand. You gotta like you kind of gotta eat as you go. You know what I mean? Like you eat a little bit as you're putting stuff on a plate. And you sit down and eat, and you're in one corner.
Kirk,
and you come back.
Kirk's standing in line eating a full meal. Yeah, just go around. Whoa.
Oh, sorry about that. There you go. Yes, but yes.
You're telling everybody, just go around. I'm going to be right here. Just going to be eating. How about sometimes when they carve you like a piece of meat or, you know, the turkey or chicken, whatever it is. And the guy like just kind of stops you looking at the meat. There's some eye contact there. I'm like, we're going to do another piece. I'm going to do two. it's almost cooked. They're trying to give you the signal. Like, that's it, right? I'm like, nah, let's go one more.
I usually just give them the big eyes. Like the big eyes, like, what's going on, brother?
I give a head nod. Like, yeah, just, come on.
No, let's, I need right, two.
Hold on, Kurt, because I haven't been to the Dodgers Clubhouse one, but before I go to my thing, I've been to the Rams pregame one that they have at Bank, and that food is delicious. The couple times that I've been there, it's been
good. Right. They do at Bank of California, and then you go in?
Yes.
Jesus.
So good. So good. Even though it won't be there anymore, but man, so good.
Ugh. And they got good stuff there. They'll have like a rack of lambs. Like they'll have all stuff like that. I'm like, what is happening?
Everything.
Here?
It's a variety. And then you go outside
and platters and
more
all of
food.
That. Yeah.
That's all we're going to do is talk about food. All right, go, Jess.
All right, more food. So the Daily Meal has an article kind of ranking the top trendiest food, and how they tracked it was Grubhub compared the top ordered items on their platform from January to June 2020 to the same time frame in 2019. And I just kind of want to get you guys' thoughts on the list because some of these I never even really heard about it, like kind of as a trend, where the top two, I'm like, I'm all in. I know that's definitely why number one, number two. So we're going to go down the top 10. Number 10, taro milk tea. Do you even guys know what that is?
Taro milk tea.
I'll have to look. Mm. No.
No, where no, is I that?
I have no idea. That's why I'm saying, how is
I
this?
Think it's
this
just
is
a brand
trend
of,
that I've
it's
never
just
heard.
A brand of tea with milk in it. Taro is like just a brand of tea.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about eating at a buffet and everything else. I'm
like
good on the
tea. Hard milk? I don't know.
I'm good on the tea.
Yeah, it kind of looks weird, but that's what I'm saying. Like, how is this a trend? I don't even remember this.
And it's like a milkshake.
We talk about food, yeah. It's like a milkshake with like boba pieces at the end.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Number 9, potato tacos.
Mm.
Now, potato tacos are good, but I don't remember that being any kind of trend. I don't remember seeing potato tacos ever trending.
I haven't either, but I will tell you, I'm in. That sounds delicious. I mean, how can you not like the item, right? Like, it might not be popular. It might not be something that you have all the time, but I'm down to have some potato tacos.
I mean, I love myself some potato tacos.
Okay.
All right,
let's keep going.
Number 8. Beef burritos. I don't even know how this is a trend. This is fantastic food.
Yeah, I love a beef burrito.
Kirk, I mean, we're coming from the, you know, the San Diego, California burrito. I mean, I'll do burrito all day long.
Yeah, I do burritos all day long. I mean,
what's in your burrito, Kirk?
Ooh, it just depends. I could do a California burrito. Sometimes I could do a burrito supreme. But just my go-to, I am a carne asada, sour cream, cheese, guacamole only.
Ooh,
I'm not doing
nice.
Because I'm not really into the pico sometimes. You can't trust everybody's pico.
No, I agree with that. Definitely agree with that one.
Well, there's pico definitely going in the burrito. I mean, I'm taking my chances.
I just can't.
If I don't make it by tomorrow, I'm taking my chances. I got to go
can't
carne
do
asada.
Everybody's pico. Uh-uh.
Carne asada, guacamole, pico de gallo, and I'm throwing in the fries like a Cali burrito. I'll take that.
But like the beans and rice. Nah,
yeah, I'm good with you. I'm good with that on the side. I don't need that.
I'm good with that on the side.
I don't need that in the burrito.
I think it tastes better on the side than in the burrito. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Too many mixes.
Something.
Too many mixes there. All right, what do you got? What's the other one?
We're at number 7.
Yeah.
Okay. blow through a few of these so we could get to Kirk too.
All right. Chimichanga. I don't think I've ever even eaten a chimichanga.
I've had one. Those are heavy. Those are definitely heavy.
When did they eat a chimichanga? At Disneyland. Apparently ate a chimichanga at Disneyland once before.
That's what they're known for. Yep, Disneyland. Everybody goes to Disneyland for
chimichangas. Where at Disneyland? She doesn't remember.
I think it's Casa de. She's trying hard to remember. The place by Big Thunder.
Big Thunder?
By Big Thunder? And in front of Big Thunder. Oh, yeah, I guess I have. All right,
I
guess.
Jess, give us the final three on that list there.
Number three, vanilla shakes.
Oh, yeah. Do shakes, definitely. Okay, what's two?
Two, plant-based food, or plant-based burgers specifically.
Are you guys fans? Are you fans? Will you have one of those, like, Impossible Burgers or anything?
I haven't had one that I haven't liked.
I'm with you. Right, they're not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. I could take it. I mean, I'm okay with it. Not too bad.
I mean, yeah, Kirk, there's some, and I know a lot of them are starting to do that now, even a lot of the fast food places. They're really not that bad. And of course, it's never going to be a burger, but they're not bad. All right, what's number one on that list there?
Number one. So this one, when I tell you, you guys are going to be, of course, because this happened probably, I don't even remember when, but there was one big event, one big fast food chain that went crazy because this became everyone's favorite kind of sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Popeye's chicken, that chicken sandwich.
Spicy chicken sandwich is the number one overall trend. Overall trend.
It was Popeye's and who that were going head-to-head? Oh, Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, but remember, Chick-fil-A was closed on Sunday. So Popeye's kept, you know, they felt like they had the advantage.
Oh, they had a competitive advantage there.
Yes.
That Popeye's chicken sandwich, but that sandwich is...
Yeah, it's one of those sandwiches you can only have, like, once a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, you can only eat one. I mean, I ate two one time, and I literally couldn't eat for a week. Like, it just filled you up.
Oh, they're heavy.
Unlike any other. It's heavy. Yeah, you're right.
And you don't expect it to be as heavy, but then you're, like, midway through, and you're just like, oh, man, I still have half of this?
Yeah.
Not to mention the fries and the drink and... We got dessert on the side.
Sounds like another Dodger game. All right, go ahead, Kirk. What do you got?
So, buddy of mine, Marcus Thompson, he writes for The Athletic, Bay Area. And so the Warriors are not at the bubble, but yet he was still wanted to contact and talk with a lot of players down in Orlando. And so one of the things that he came up with, he has a feature story right now at the Athletic, and it's called Bongs, Blunts, and Bombs, The Secret to Surviving the NBA Bubble. And it just kind of goes to show for a lot of players that we talked about it already with the snitch line, you cannot leave the bubble. And the NBA, I believe, is not testing for the recreational use of marijuana. So if I'm a player and I know I'm going to be obviously in a bubble, how much do you need? How much do you bring? And so now you have to turn scientist and say, well, if I do this many days, and I maybe want to smoke twice.
Get your brother on the accounting side of things. Get a couple calculators, get a scale.
You're throwing it all out there. We're talking about CBD oil. We're talking about. And so, look. I'm not a guy. I've never been a marijuana guy. So that's not my thing, right? And look, I know it does wonders for a lot of players, athletes. I know one guy who I played, played on my team, and I needed him to actually smoke. Like, he couldn't focus without smoking. So really? It was like, when it was game day, like, man, you had your get right.
You had your sesh already?
Yeah. I used to call it your get right. You had your get right? Yeah, I already had my get right. Because he needed that to focus. So I've never been against guys who go out and medicate that way. But it did get me to thinking, though. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, certain vices. Mm-hmm. Like, what's a vice that you think that, like, am I bringing enough? You know, am I bringing enough to the bubble? Because once you get to the bubble, like, how do you go out and go get more of your vice or whatever you need? So for me, I think one of the things that I like, I just love these things. I really do. I'm a big fan of licorice. I love licorice, man. That's my vice.
Just regular licorice?
Just licorice, man. Yeah, just licorice. I love some licorice. I'm a candy guy. So I don't know how much candy I would need to bring to the bubble, because I'm for sure know that I would be done with whatever I had in like 4 days.
Kirk, that's interesting.
A lot of licorice.
No, yeah. But that's interesting because they're going to provide what they're going to provide, but you have no idea if they're going
to
provide
what you
want.
So what do you provide? Like, it's just like, it goes back to me when I was in training camp, when I was in the NFL. Like, there's all this stuff that we talked about, you know, the food, the spreads, all of that stuff. And yet I would still go out and I would have to get me bread, peanut butter, and jelly, because there was nothing like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my room late at night. That's the worst thing ever, is at night you're looking for something to eat and you don't want to get room service, because that's just like you order room service and then you wake up in the morning and you still got like the platter there, plates in the room.
Place still smells.
Yeah, it smells like chicken and a turkey sub sandwich.
Parmesan, what you have in there?
And you're like, oh my God. But you just feel sick in the morning, like, oh, why did I do that? But I would always have to have me sparkling water and also a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in there. So that's that was sort of the thing I always needed in my room.
You know what I think? God, the PB&J, that's a great one. That's a perfect one. You know what I eat all the time? I could eat any time just to snack on. Popcorn.
What's that?
Popcorn I could have any time of the freaking day. Okay. That's a snack that you have no idea if it's going to go in the bubble. That's one. Curtis, you got something? You got something that you have to bring?
No, I'm over here trying to think, man, if I was on what team, how much weed
definitely
would you
chocolate.
Take to survive at the bubble? I'm over here trying to think. Because if
think
you're on
about
the Lakers.
It. You got
to
read
Curtis
the story.
Curtis would bring
yes.
for a year.
Yes.
Curtis would bring for a year.
Because if you're there for 3 weeks, that's a lot different than three months. That's hard to plan for.
Curtis, that's been the joke today, right?
Because a lot of mass.
They were asking, you know, because we know that there are some players who bring, you know, obviously, paraphernalia with them. And so people were concerned about guys like a possible J.R. Smith or even Dion Waiters, because we know the incident in Miami where he had a, I don't know if it was too many edibles or a bad edible, which ultimately
probably
got him kicked off the team. So is he partaking in that? Or for guys who normally, and this goes back to what you talked about a little bit, Alan, earlier, is that guys who have normally lived a life to where they can go and partake in whatever they want to after a practice, go smoke, do whatever they can. Now, all of a sudden, they're in this bubble and they got to kind of monitor what they normally do. And then what happens if you do run out of self-medication? Where do you go get it at? Or are you exempt? Like, hey, Adam Silver.
The bubble life.
Yeah, could you go grab us some weed?
Hashtag bubble life problems.
Well, you can just order delivery here. I don't know about over there, but
this goes back to the same thing with that player from the Rockets I was trying to get, or the player from the Kings I was trying to get, you know, food delivery.
Right.
Nothing's coming in. Right? Like nothing's coming in. Unless somebody could probably mail it to you.
There should be a drop box. Is there a drop box there?
Somebody could probably mail it to you.
I'm assuming, maybe. Or it could
very
be like a drop
creatively.
Box. Mm-hmm. What if people like just drove by and just drop box, like just drop it off? It's like a little door, and you put it in
flags. A little drone that just makes a drop off like Grizzle does in Parks and Rec. I can imagine
go ahead, Jess, go ahead.
I could just imagine, you know, if we're thinking about it now, if, you know, Marcus Thompson wrote an article about it, which was a great read, I especially love saying that he would pay to see footage of J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters having fun at Disneyland. I would too.
That's funny.
You know that the players, at the very least, they thought about it. So, you know, there's some kind of working that, you know, someone has like, hey, if I run out, I need you to figure out how to get more. Because, you know, like you said, Kirk, some players
put it this way. They're going to find a way to make it happen. Like they are. Especially these players that, and I'm sure, listen, the NBA, the league is probably they're okay with it. Like, they're obviously not making it. If they're not testing, there's a reason why they're not testing. So they certainly understand that there's going to be NBA players that partake in it. And if it's not obviously affecting what they're doing, or however you want to put it, then it sounds like they're going to find a way to get it in there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we're going to be seeing players or I don't think we're going to be seeing the league saying, no, you can't do that. Like, not at this point. All right, so, Kirk, we got a lot of, and I haven't got a chance to play some of this sound, but we got a chance to hear from KCP, Alex Caruso, and head coach Frank Vogel. Let's do that when we come back. These are players obviously in the bubble, and then there's this kind of confusion, I think, with Markieff Morris and if he's in the bubble or not. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here, Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, so Yahoo Sports NBA reporter Chris Haynes was on Inside the NBA. It's funny, Kirk, because, you know, we heard Austin Rivers a little bit earlier talking about, he's just joking around, but saying, come on now, LeBron's not staying here. LeBron's not staying in the same room as us. And then when they first got to the bubble, was it J.R. Smith when he's talking about the blanket? And he's like, come on, LeBron's not getting this. AD's not using this. Here's Chris Haynes talking specifically about LeBron and what he's doing inside of the bubble.
LeBron is switching things up. He, on the campus, he's doing things a little bit differently. Now, he's not having, I was told, sources told me, he has not brought along his personal chef, his personal masseuse, nor has he brought over his extended security team. He wants to make sure that he's going through all the rigors of his teammates on this campus to make sure he's blending in and going through everything that they're experiencing. And LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Quinn Cook, at times I've seen them roaming the campus, just walking along, just getting a bonding period. But LeBron James was clearly trying to send a message that we're all in this together. And that is one of his forms of trying to show that he's out there with them doing the same thing that they're doing. And he's eating the same exact
Chris
food.
Haynes.
And he's got to throw the food in there at the last second. So it is, Kirk. I mean, you know, for those who look at a player like LeBron and they're, oh, you know what, why does he get this or why does he get that? Right. I mean, do we even got to explain? I'm not saying that at the end of the day, certain athletes are going to be treated different than other athletes. And you probably saw it firsthand when you were in the league. Not every athlete is treated exactly the same.
Right. Absolutely. Some guys are going to get more treatment than others. I just know that for a fact. I've been on teams like that. And I've heard from guys who played on other teams. You don't treat all players equal. That's just how it goes. That's just the pecking order. So when it comes to LeBron James, though, he's just not any ordinary player, though. Right? We're talking about the face of the league. He's the face of the NBA. If he's not available.
He's been the face of the league for how long now? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, for a long time. Does he deserve to have a little bit more than maybe your end-of-the-line player on a roster? I would think so, but if he says I'm all in and doing what everyone else is doing, then yeah. But I look at it a little bit differently, though, Alan. I look at it as that this is probably the first time I think in LeBron's maybe even, I would say, adult life, maybe since high school, that he can actually just be by himself. Like LeBron, I think, look, does he have a lot going on? Yes, he's got his family. Agents, I mean, he's got movie deals and, you know, television shows. He's got his hands, got his, you know, school he got going on, the I Promise School. He's got so much, like, going on. I think he also uses this time to just be by himself. Like, think about it. When do we ever get a chance to just be by ourselves and just let me just focus on me and my job? That's what he's doing. He's focusing on him and the job. There's nothing else to do. There's no basketball. I mean, there's nothing outside of it. He's put everything else on hold. And to see him come to Orlando and really buy into everything, that does send a message that he's here for one thing, to win a championship and then be out.
Kirk, you think, kind of just playing off of that, you think some of these players, as much as we've talked about, you know, and you've seen players kind of clown on Orlando, not clown, but, you know, on some of the accommodations or the food or something like that, do you think for some of these players, LeBron is not the best example, because LeBron James, first of all, has got a family. LeBron James has been behind the spotlight since he was in high school. But do you think there's a part of these players that kind of enjoy there's no media in front of them after every practice, right? They're doing some of these Zoom calls. Like, right. It's much more personal and intimate for individuals that like they're not accustomed to that anymore. For the first time, this is kind of happening in their career, whether it be at college or, you know, obviously the NBA. You think some of these players are enjoying this kind of this intimacy, I guess you can call it?
Maybe some, because not all players are going to have 100 microphones in their face, right? I think maybe LeBron James. I watched Kawhi Leonard's interview the other day. There are certain players who probably like this because they don't feel like everyone's all on top of them. It's all through, you know, like you said, video links and things like that, so that people can ask questions and can kind of really think through your answers. You're not worrying about, I got to appease everybody. So I think some players are liking the setup, but I think there's other players who are like, I'm not really a media guy. Nobody really asks for my quotes. And then you have to worry about, you know, the bigger question is, when I get done with practice and I want to go somewhere, I can't really go outside the bubble. So I got to stay within the bubble. So I think a lot of players are like, man, you know, media availability. I know I was one that, certain days I would want to speak. Certain days I didn't want to speak. I didn't have to talk. And now I think some guys have that decision. If they want, can decide whether they want to talk or they can just kind of just be by themselves a little bit.
All right. So Lakers guard Alex Caruso was on the Zoom press conference. These calls that they're doing almost every day, the Lakers are giving us some access to some of these players. And Caruso really just addressing the minutes that he's going to be getting with Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo out. Rondo out for a limited amount of time.
Yeah, so obviously with Avery gone, we were probably leaning more towards me and KCP trying to pick up some defensive duties as far as guarding the lead ball handler, start games, and we're still figuring that out and working that out. And now with Rondo gone, we're going to have to do some more supplemental ball handling just because he ran point guard a lot for that second unit. So I'm expecting to do a little bit of that. Not sure if I'll do it 100%. Just lack of time and not knowing how we're going to approach it and how we're going to satisfy the need. So obviously we got me, we got Quinn. We got other guys that can fill in and handle the ball and run the show. So whoever's going to be called upon is going to be ready to go. That's kind of been the theme for this team this whole year is whenever we've had guys down, whoever's been back up, stepped into their spot and filled the role very well. So I think that's going to continue to be the theme. We're going to try and work in the new guys and see how they are. And then obviously the guys that have been here all year, we're going to try and do our part and step into his shoes.
It's interesting, Kirk, because we've had this conversation a number of times since Avery Bradley, you know, decided that he's not going to be a part of the Orlando bubble. And now you throw Rajon Rondo in the mix for 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, think of the role and the importance for Alex Caruso and KCP. I don't want to say it came out of nowhere because they were going to play a role anyways, but you got two guys that were, I don't want to say in front of them, but you could make that argument, or you were going to give more minutes to Rondo during the playoffs because, you know, he's just, this is where you feel like he's going to thrive.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, it's on KCP's back. It's on Alex Caruso's back. And the one thing I'll say, like I do actually got confidence in both of those players, but similar to Kyle Kuzma, these are all players that have never been in the postseason before. So I think there's got to be a lot of curiosity. There's got to be – concern's not the right word, but, you know, you're obviously you can't depend on a guy like Avery Bradley who had been there before, a guy like Rondo at least for, you know, a period of time. You can't rely on guys that have postseason experience. These three guys don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to be concerned because of the uncertainty. You don't know how they're going to react, how teams are going to go out and go against them, right? I mean, these players are guys who were role players with the Lakers, and now their role has now increased because two guys going down. Just to hear, you know, Alex talk, Caruso just talk about how he's going to have to do a lot more than he was expecting. You know, you come in, be on the second unit, come in, be a ball handler a little bit, maybe guard, do a little bit of defensive assignments here and there. But now he understands that he's got to expand even more. Like, his minutes will be extended, and he's got to go out and really almost to a point. Some nights, is he just going to be a defender? Is he not even a part of the offense, right? Because we knew a lot of times when Avery Bradley was there, Avery was there to just a stop. He was just a defender. Now, there was a couple games where they needed him offensively, and he was on fire, but he was primarily a defender who could score. And now we're trying to figure out who is Alex Caruso in terms of what will his role be. That's what he's saying. That's what we're trying to figure out. Same thing with Quinn Cook. Just a limited guy, didn't get a lot of minutes at all, even when, you know, before the pandemic. So now we're trying to ramp up how these guys
will
play.
He probably played in half the games this year, so yeah. It's not like he was getting extended PT.
At all. So now you got to figure out how to embrace, and then also, what are these guys, you know, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses, right? I mean, and then are they playing in crunch time? Like, who is now your final, who's your final five, Allen? Who is your final five now when it comes to crunch time? Obviously, AD, LeBron, we know those two are going to be there. I throw in a Jeff Green. He's another guy that I
Danny
would
Green.
Want on the court. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry, Danny Green. He's another guy that I would want on the floor. And then who's your last two, right? Who's their last two? Because I would definitely, Avery Bradley would have been one before. And now you're saying, is now Kyle Kuzma part of that four? It goes back to who's the third Laker. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot that I think Frank Vogel has to figure out now, because however their lineup is going to be, are they going to go small? Are they going to be a little bit bigger? How are they going to do that? Because they're going to have to dictate tempo, because if teams bring it to them, whew, it may be a little tough on LeBron that
well,
has to
gonna,
do a lot
and,
more.
And that's what's going to come down to, you know, Kirk. There's going to be such dependency on the two of the top five players in the NBA, which is okay. I mean, that's they're that good, but these other players are going to have to step up. Head coach Frank Vogel was actually asked earlier today, who is the third option for the Lakers? And I think that's a fair question right now. I think that's still open for debate. Here's head coach's response.
I really believe that, you know, our third option on this team with the many, many weapons that we have, our third option is the open man, the way we play. You know, if we attack and just play for each other and share the basketball, we have more than enough firepower that it's almost a, you know, a benefit to not have it be one guy that a defense can zero in on. You know, the way you play in attack mode, where it can be a different guy every night, you know, stepping up to score 20, 25 points or have the assist totals or whatever. You know, that's a strength of our team this year. And, you know, I anticipate that that's going to work for us in the playoffs.
All right. So I would, there's actually an article here, and this is a perfect transition. Dan,
I love how he hit you with that coach talk, but go ahead.
But, you know, listen, Kirk, I get what he's trying to do. I think he's dancing a little bit. Okay. There's definitely some dancing in there, but I don't think, you know, I don't really this entire season, there hasn't been a third guy for the Lakers. Before the season started, the chatter was who? It was all about Kuz, right? Okay, no, Kuz is the third best player on this team. How many points is he going to average? This is the three-headed monster that the Lakers have. Well, we know that that's not reality.
Right.
Reality, you can probably make the case, and even though Danny Green wasn't, you know, the most consistent player for the Lakers this year, you could say, okay, well, Danny Green would be that third player simply because he's a veteran. He's been there before. You know what he can do in the playoffs. He's won a championship with the Spurs. He's won one with the Toronto Raptors last year. I would probably lean towards Danny Green. But at the same time, here's the reality. The reality is there could be a night where KCP goes off. There could be a night where Dwight Howard is your third most important player. There could be a night where Alex Caruso, you just can't get him off the floor because he's so impactful on offense and defense. It's probably not ideal, Kirk, but that's the reality of where the Lakers are. There is no consistent third person.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see early on. Who's going to be the bear the brunt of the labor, right? Who's going to be the guy who has to go out and get some buckets? Because are you saying that LeBron and AD, they can never be off the floor together? It's always going to have to be one guy on the floor at some point. Now we're talking about rotations, because I just can't see, you know, Frank Vogel keeping LeBron and AD off the court for and him just putting guys in.
Because now one guy a little rest, and then they'll you'll have to take one out and put the other one in. Sure.
So yeah, they're going to have to stagger those two in their rest, and until a third scorer sort of emerges in this back half of the season. You know, with Avery Bradley giving you that.
But does it have to be a third player? Like I'm saying, you know, this has kind of been the Lakers, even with Avery Bradley and Rondo. This has been the theme all year. So it's not like this is anything new. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might have been chatting about Kyle Kuzma. We might have been talking about Kuz being the player that we thought was going to be the three guy. But the reality is every single game it was a different guy. Remember you were mentioning, you talked about Avery Bradley, that Lakers-Clippers game and how key he was. That wasn't Avery Bradley every game. There were some games where it was KCP. There were some games where it was Dwight and JaVale McGee take their numbers together as a center. There was another game where it was Danny Green. So this isn't that different than what the Lakers have kind of done all season long, but I know that's one of your points of why you have some concern with the Lakers. Let me do this, Kirk. We come back. Dan Faville, if I said that right, on Bleacher Report, he's ranking every NBA trio headed to Disney World. So just like, as we're talking here, the top, we already know who the top two players are for the Lakers, and you already know the top two players on the same team in the NBA. But the question is trio. So he ranked them down, and we'll see where the Lakers fall. We'll see where some of these other teams fall and who that trio is. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. All right, Kirk, it looks like Carlo didn't waste any time, so he's already got the cutouts all ready to go. Yeah. Got it all ready to go. I do think that's actually going to be one of those things that will get popular. And like we talked about, the price was so reasonable. You can definitely see, you know, individuals going out there and grabbing, you know, these cutouts for their family or a loved one or a birthday or whatever the case is. But we're hitting on these trios. All right. So trios, the best trio in the NBA. I'm going to see how many of these trios do you think you can name off? If you're thinking about teams that have three players that, you know, most definitely can thrive in the postseason. We're just talking about these 22 teams that are in Orlando. What teams do you think would be on that list? Ooh. And I'll tell you where they're ranked.
Oh, man. Oh, this is tough. I would say Houston is on that list.
Okay, so Houston is number four. Okay. So that and by the way, they put James Harden, PJ Tucker, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, PJ Tucker will be the one.
The reality is, you know, Westbrook and Harden, and then whatever role player from there.
Okay. Who else?
There's two teams from the East and two teams from the West left in the top five.
Yeah. From the East, obviously, I would think you have to put in the 76ers.
Sixers actually aren't on there.
Oh, wow. No 76ers. Are the Milwaukee Bucks?
So Bucks are on there. They're at number three. And
who's
Boston,
their third guy?
Boston is number five. Boston, by the way, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Kemba Walker. That's
Kemba. Why that's a fantastic trio.
Just young.
Who's the third player, are you saying, for Milwaukee?
Eric Bledsoe. Okay. So they put Bledsoe on there.
So they elevated Bledsoe as a big three.
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. So the reason why I'm getting to this is because when we talk trios, right, we're talking trios. That's been your big question is who's the Lakers player after AD and LeBron? So on this list, they have Danny Green as the third player, but they have this as the second best trio in the NBA. So if this was just a duo, you're going to have AD and LeBron. That's going to be number one. And then number two, you know, you can – pick from a number of teams. Maybe it's the Clippers, but there's obviously great duos around the league. But when you say trio, the number one trio on this ranking is Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and actually they put Montrezl Harrell, which I would put Lou Williams before Montrezl Harrell, but it just shows you that they got really 3-4 guys that they could go to at any time. You have more of an understanding who the Clippers are going to close with, where with the Lakers, I do think it's going to be a game-to-game thing. You know, sometimes you might have Dwight close a game, Markieff Morris might be in there, Caruso might be in there, KCP. Like, it's going to depend where it's a little bit more defined with the Clippers.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. The Lakers are going to be trying to find out, and it's going to switch from game to game. I don't think it's just going to be one player. Right? We thought it would be one player throughout the season, and obviously it didn't. It's just who's going to be that guy to each game, right? Who's got the hot hand, right? It's just like a running back by committee kind of thing. In the NFL, same thing. It's the third man by committee with the Lakers, because you're going to ask a guy that have to do different things, right? Whether it's going to be one day you're the ball handler, the next day, hey, you're going to have to be able to play defense today. Hey, the next day, hey, you got to be a scorer today. This one, you got to spread it out. It's going to be a lot for that player. For me, watching that, it's not going to never be the same person now. It's going to be different players that have to, because you got to find the identity of who these players are now. And you don't have a lot of time to figure it out, right? When you lose two key players with playoff experience and just NBA experience, you got to get that fairly quickly. And you got to earn the trust of LeBron, right? I think that when LeBron handpicked, you know, an Avery Bradley, a Rajon Rondo,
J.R. Smith. Kind of a, you know, you like, could say that's a hand pick.
Like, you knew what's going on. I can trust these guys. I can bring them down to my foxhole. I know what I'm going to get out of him. We make fun of J.R. Smith, but at the same time, LeBron knows what he's going to get game in and game out.
J.R. Smith was hitting big shots for the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the day. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Lakers, but you're right. We at least have a lot of experience with J.R. Smith. We have a lot of experience with some of these other vets. But, you know, Kirk, I'll say this, and this is the way we started the show.
Right.
We started the show talking about how we're here. A week from tomorrow, we got Dodgers baseball. We got baseball, you know, a day after that. We got every Major League Baseball team will have played a game. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we got the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. A week from this Saturday, I'm back in the studio. There's a scrimmage that the Lakers are taking on Orlando. We're here, Kirk. Like, it is – it's crazy to see this roller coaster over these last 4 months, and you and I both know it. I mean, nothing – tomorrow's not guaranteed, so we have no idea how things are going to play out. I just read something, you know, on Twitter right now. Do you know today was the highest amount of COVID cases in the state of California? So, you know, that were reported. So it's not like we're all free and clear, and it's not like there's a vaccine and we know that life can just go back to normal. But one normalcy that we haven't had in, you know, at least 4 months is, Kirk, looks like we're going to have some sports very, very soon in these major, major sports.
And that's going to be huge. We're going to have some sports back, be able to watch, and like I said, keep our minds off of what's going on, right? I mean, I could see all these number of COVID cases rising. And to me, does it affect you? Yes, because you're seeing that people are, some are being, you know, are sick. Some are, you know, being sent to hospitals. Some are even, you know, dying out there. For me, I'm going to continue to quarantine, stay at home, and just be with the family. It's hard to go out and be a part of anything or see anything when it just, you don't know about the unknown. But the known or the new known that we know is that we'll be able to watch some basketball. We'll be able to watch some baseball and be able to hopefully keep our mind off of what's been going on outside of our walls.
And it's not, you know, when we say that, it's not that we are pretending that it doesn't exist. But, man, you can't. It's not healthy to just, you know, watch the news all day. It's not healthy to read about negative news or anything like that. So I'm with you. I mean, we got – when we say distractions, we just mean this is part of life. There's ups, there's downs. That's just, you know, the flow of how life works. But it's also nice to have the things that you look forward to, the things that make you excited. Like, these are also the great qualities of life.
Yeah, these are the great qualities that allows you to do something different, right? To do something different and hopefully just give you a peace of mind for a little bit. You know, some, we're not saying it's just take it all away. It's part of our reality. But just have a little bit of time to do yourself and think about something different.
Kirk, my man, I appreciate it. You have a great weekend. We'll get back to you next Monday. Thank you, LA.